excuse him.
He wrote so many beautiful tunes. Oh my God.
You know, they're standards, yeah. You know, and a lot of jazzers don't realize that yet.
He is in the pantheon of the great American songbook at the top, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, a lot of people will make that distinction. They'll go and, you know, yeah, really, next to Yip Hardberg and like
the Gershwins.
And the Gershwins, he is. He is in that league. And some of the greatest moments of my life have been orchestrated by Stevie Wonder. I mean, like, there are some songs that if I listen to them in the right place, I'll cry. I'll just cry. I'll be sitting in my car or something, just some Stevie Wonder songs that just go just right into my soul.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's got that sense memory. Because Stevie wrote about life, and Arturo Ferro takes that kind of thing into life.
Yeah.
You know? The Tropicana. You know, those kind of sense memory things that inform what you do today, whether it is Familia.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with Chucho Valdez paying tribute to two of the greatest musicians
this
planet has ever known.
Of course, yeah.
A look back, but yet a push forward. Indeed.
Yeah.
With...
Of course,
the next generation
on ensemble. Board absolutely
for this record.
In fact, Chucho and I were talking about retiring to our villa in Tuscany. It's about time, don't you think? I'm sure a lot of kids are going, yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Be done with it already, old man. No, it's not like that. You know what it is that I really, and I've had conversations with other composers about this, I don't have the ability to write abstractly. Music for me comes from life and comes from individuals and comes from circumstances and comes from stories and narratives. And for me, the best work that I do is always when it's tied in some way or another to something I love, someone I love, some situation that I love. And, you know, I write about the things that I know, which, of course, is what you're told when you're a writer. But when you're a composer, you don't hear that much.
No, but you live it sometimes. And for yourself, and we've had this conversation before, you know, walking into the den where your daddy, the great Chico Ferro, was composing, or simply listening to one of his favorites.
Yeah, oh, he had a listening hour, and he would sit in the dark for 2 to 3 hours a night with a highball, they called it then.
Yeah.
Scotch and rocks. And he was crazy, man. He would be listening to Olivier Messiaen 1 minute, then Oscar Peterson, then, believe it or not, Steely Dan.
Yeah.
So he had quite the range. I admire that very much about him and have adopted that as my aesthetic.
And sometimes those conversations are what you would call simple. Guajira Simple.
Guajira Simple is a beautiful piece by Alexis Bosch from our Cuba the Conversations album Continued, in which I asked 6 composers to contribute their interpretation of what Dizzy and Chano are still talking about even after their sojourn on this terrestrial planet.
And to pull this off today live on WBGO, we're going to talk about a live appearance that's happening tonight for Arturo. But in the meantime, who are the musicians that are gathered around the table here this morning?
Well, we have some of my oldest friends, Jim Seeley, Ivan Renta, and some of my newest friends, Abdul Rahman Amer and Kazel Jimenez. And there are folks I've known since birth, like Zach O'Farrell, folks that I feel that I've known since birth, like Carlos Maldonado and Carlo De Rosa, just people who I consider heroes in my estimation because of the dedication and love that they bring to their craft.
The conversation always continues, and many times it does continue because of the musicality that makes up the chat, if you will. The conversation continues. We're with Arturo O'Farrell this morning at WBGO.
Thank you.
That's Guarita Simple. And it comes from the same recording. You know, we were talking earlier about keeping your eyes open and about life informing things around you. There's a statue of Jose Marti in Central Park.
There's a statue of Jose Marti in Central Park.
And that comes from that same record.
That comes from that same record.
And that's about observation, isn't it?
It's about observation and being aware and being connected to the times and where we are as a human, as human beings, and where we stand in our fight for justice, in our fight for organization, and in our fight for observing what is just and what is not.
Can't be a statue, though, can you?
No, you cannot be a statue. It's very impolitically correct. Unpolitically correct to be a statue these days, of, I guess, any persuasion.
And movement is always the key, whether making a political statement, whether making a musical statement, or providing the engine by which some of the top dance companies on this planet are able to do their thing. And that is the focus of the thing that is going on tonight, or coming up, right? On, is it the 15th?
No, I think it's the 8th and the 9th.
It is tonight. And tomorrow night.
I hope so. At least I'll show up at the theater and it'll be empty. That would be really embarrassing. And somebody will yell at me. I know somebody's going to yell at me. I know it.
There's so much going on in the life of our Arturo O'Farrell. I'm thinking of Familia. Yeah. Comes out the 15th.
Yeah.
But the performance at, it's up
El
at
105th. Museo del Barrio.
Museo del Barrio. And it is 5th Avenue at 104th.
104th. Between 104th and 100. No, 105th and 106th.
I yeah. Mean. And it's your compositions that have been created for dance companies.
Or that have been co-opted by dance companies.
Yeah.
Either one. I discovered Bryce Rosenblum used to be part of the Jazz at Lincoln Center world, and he introduced me to Tina Ramirez. And lo and behold, I discovered that I'd missed a whole section of my life, that I just slept on dance. And for the past 10 years, I've been involved in the dance world in a big way. And to see, imagine this, you're sitting at a drafting table with a pencil and you're putting marks on a piece of paper. And that's kind of an abstract experience. And then somehow, at some point later, it gets translated into people soaring through the air and twirling and doing things that are just magical. And there's something about it that is incredible. I mean, when I first saw my music being put to dance and dancers moving to the notes that I created in this abstract setting, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that that the music I heard in my head was animating these folks in such a way.
If you're just getting up, thank you for making us a little part of your life here on this Friday morning at WBGO tonight at Museo del Barrio. At 5th Avenue between 105th and 106th, tomorrow night too, if you already got your Friday night plans. It will be Musica in Motion, the compositions and co-opting of Arturo O'Farrell with great dance companies. You remember the first time you became interested in dance?
I do. A gentleman that I mentioned earlier, Bryce Rosenblum, introduced me to Tina Ramirez, who's the founder of Ballet Hispanico, who introduced me to Sergio Trujillo, who was the choreographer for a piece that I wrote and called Palladium Nights, which incorporated some of my music, some of my father's music, some of Tito Puente's music. And, you know, watching these dancers prepare and rehearse, and I just realized that I don't care how hard living people think musicians are. Dancers are astonishing. They work. They start at 9 in the morning, do class for 3 or 4 hours. Then they rehearse and they do a run through. Then they do a show and then they go have a few drinks till 2 or 3 in the morning. And then they go and do it all over again.
And a lot of times they're on their toes doing it.
They're on their toes. And amazingly enough, they I don't know, they're just really dedicated to their craft in a way that I find very, very humbling.
And their dedication and their appreciation of great pieces of music speaks volumes to what makes them move. You know, I think of Alvin Ailey, I think of Duke Ellington and the Night Creature. Alonzo King and the Lions Ballet Company, the first time I saw them, they were dancing to live music with Pharoah Sanders and seven Moroccans.
Doing
their thing. So, and it's that which makes them move like that.
Well, especially Alvin Ailey, I think, is an example of just kind of the highest level of art, but the highest level of aesthetic too. Mm-hmm. If you look at Revelations, the original piece, that's mind blowing. And along the way, they've had some of the greatest choreographers on the planet. And when I saw Alvin Ailey dancing to the Afro-Latin Jazz Suite at rehearsal, it was devastating emotionally. But when I saw him on stage doing that, I mean, I feel so. It sounds corny, but I feel so humbled by that. I feel like, wow, there's a lot of things I've done that are really cool, a lot of great achievements, blah, 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 blah. But watching these folks perform to my music has been one of the highlights of my life.
Sure. And it's kept you going. You wrote a piece of music, Dance Intruso?
Well, the piece is called Intruso. It's from a suite that I wrote. Mm. And it's funny, we're talking about Hilton and Walter Becker and people we've lost, because the suite is called the Despedida Suite. It's called, Despedida means goodbye, the farewell in Spanish. And it's a piece that really talks about letting go and moving on and letting go of folks that you've loved. And it's really an interesting piece, because intruso is that first moment when someone barges into your heart. And it's such an awakening when somebody enters your life and they're bigger than life, and you're, it's really intruso. It's like, the piece is really powerful and lively and called intruso, because when somebody comes in your life, it's such a calamitous and glorious event at the same time. And that's what inspired Intruso. In the piece, of course, it evolves, since the whole suite evolves after Intruso. But that's the piece that that really implies that great moment when someone big comes into your life.
Mapaso Dance Company.
Mapaso is a big event in my life.
Well, yeah, and it has its genesis in Cuba.
Fernando Saez and Osnel Delgado, the ladies, are the founders, and they are people who, Malpaso means misstep. Malpaso means like missing a step, and they all three of them were involved in very secure positions in very high companies like Danza Contemporánea de Cuba, and they all left because they had a different vision of what they wanted to do artistically. And
yeah.
People said, that's career suicide, that's a misstep, you're gonna regret that moment, but they had the courage. And that's almost what I've done with my life. That's why Malpaso resonated with me. I was formerly part of Jazz at Lincoln Center. I had this knack going, and then I went, no, I want more. I want to do something different. I want to create my own vision of what this music is. And so, I created the Afro-Latin Jazz Alliance, the Afro-Latin Jazz Orchestra, the Afro-Latin Jazz Academy, the nonprofit, the kids, the education, the this, the that, and all of it. Because I really, really wanted to do something different.
Not always a sure thing.
Never a sure thing.
Yeah. But if you don't let intruso into your life.
Exactly.
No challenge.
Big people, big ideas. Calamitous yet glorious.
Yeah. Arturo O'Farrell and his octets. Good morning from WBGO. We'll be right back. We got dreamers in the room, folks.
We sure do.
We got dreamers in the room.
Yeah, I asked Gary if he'd let me say something about this moment in history, because I myself am a perfect example of a DACA kid. When I was brought to the United States at the age of 5, I think my mother and father brought me here on some sort of tourist visa. And that ran out after a month or two, and I was an undocumented child, then an undocumented preschooler, then an undocumented middle schooler, then an undocumented high schooler, and an undocumented college student. At any point, if President Trump had been around, then I could have been deported if this DACA Act is rescinded. I think it's important to note that I'm not a drug dealer. I'm not a rapist. I'm not a bad hombre. I am a committed member of this society. I have won many awards. I'm a full-time college professor. I have a nonprofit that's educational performance and preservation that gives work to 50 people. And if President Trump had his way, I would have been sent back to Mexico at the age of 6. And I think it's important to say this is such an unbelievable cruelty this act that he's done, that is perpetrated only to undo the greatness of the act that originally was done by President Obama. This is an awful, awful moment in history. And just, yeah, I'm a dreamer. And you know what I dream of? I dream of a day when people will stand up, when they will rise up and say, no, this kind of lunacy cannot continue. This kind of madness and racism and socioeconomic terrorism cannot continue.
Well, you know what I'm hopeful of? I'm hopeful, too, that that out of all this dialogue, like we're having this morning, like you see on your television, like you read in your newspapers every day, if it inspires you, the consumer of this information, to simply investigate a little bit more and to go beyond the facial, the superficial, and dig down into the real meat of the situation, the real meat of the relationship, that's where anything special and anything long-lasting lives.
Yeah.
And when it comes to music, what do you suppose it is that inspires the mother to look for the lost child? It is that depth that exists only by the deep investigation. This is Llorona from the Despedida Suite.
Yeah, yeah.
Arturo O'Farrell at WBGO. Llorona. That is from the Despedida Suite, as performed by Arturo Farrell and a wonderful octet of guys that have come down here this morning to play for you on WBGO. Ivan Renta on tenor, Jim Seeley, longtime compatriot of Arturo's, on the trumpet, Rocky Amer on trombone, one of the newest additions, and Zach O'Farrell, one of the organic additions, on the drums, Carlo De Rosa on the bass. You'll hear him burn it up a little bit later this morning, I'm sure. Carlo Molinato on percussion, also a longtime guy, and Kaisel Jimenez,
yeah,
on percussion, yeah, also one of the newest additions.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that,
sure,
for just a moment.
Happy to.
How does one audition someone for a working ensemble of Arturo Farrell?
When I was 18 or 17, I was playing with my buddies in a group called the Untouchables. And we were playing in some stinky bar in the middle of the woods in upstate New York. And the gentleman, the proprietor, thought he heard something he liked. So he called Carl Bley, NEA jazz master and incredible American composer, to come hear the band. And a few days later, I got a phone call from Mike Mantler inviting me to perform at the 1979 Berlin Jazz Festival. And somehow I forgot that lesson. Somehow I forgot the lesson that no one recommended me to her, that I wasn't the product of a dynastic relationship, that it wasn't somebody took a chance on me.
Yeah, it wasn't holy inference.
That's right. And what I've realized is that for years we've run our business in a way that is really based on recommendations of friends recommending friends of friends recommending friends because they want to get this gig or that gig or because they. And I said, enough of this.
The circle needs to be unbroken.
Yeah, I needed to break it. And so what I did is I had four openings in the band, and I chose to go and completely open the chairs to a fair and democratic audition process. And I thought, well, we'll get a few interests. We got 200 applicants, men, women,
wow,
people of every race, color. And, I mean, it was astonishing to me. And we really opened up a floodgates. And here's the great part of it. We heard some of the most fabulous musicians that I've never heard of, that you couldn't imagine how great these young folks are. And it was really such a difficult moment for me, because then it became not a question of filling the chairs, but too many great musicians, too many wondrous musicians, all looking for that break that I got from Carla Bley. And so I have to tell you, this is, we can't depend on things being done the same way, the same old business. The same, we need to break the way that we've done business in jazz. I'm going to tell you now, the way gigs, musicians are hired, the way gigs are gotten, the way we do things, it's got to change. It's got to be open to more people, more influences, more friends from throughout the world.
But see, and still, familia can continue to exist.
Yes.
Because the bonds that go way back and make a foundation, such as your father and Chucho's father did,
yeah,
way back when, and inform what you do on this brand new recording, but with a new generation, a new attitude, and what I told you I heard upon the first listening, a real forward push.
Absolutely. No, this is not a nostalgic record. I'm very proud of this record, which comes out on Motema on the 15th. I'm very proud of this record because it is not nostalgic. We don't look to Bebo and Chico to replicate or look back or try to relive a moment. We look at them as pioneers who were driven by a vision that must drive me and Chucho today and the next generation tomorrow. And the vision is to progress the art, to move it forward, to advance the cause so that we can bring more people into this music. Because if they just hear the same, they're going to listen for a while, but they'll eventually move on. You keep moving forward, when you keep the art growing, that's when you make new friends. And that's what Chico and Bebo taught us.
Familia. Tell me about Familia, the inspiration and the direction that you wanted to go with this.
Well, Chucho and I have been friends for many, many years, and we've been talking about doing something together. And of course, we're very different musically, but we knew that we loved each other's playing, and that we had to do something. And one day, we sat down, and we decided that a lovely entry point into the project would be to pay tribute to our fathers and the visionary progressive artists that they were. And so we got together, we chose some material, we handcrafted a piece together, and then decided that it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough to just feature ourselves and our fathers. We also wanted to feature the great young musicians that sprang forth from this this recording, from our work, from our fathers. And really, in a way, it's a celebration, though, a much larger celebration, because we include a bunch of other musicians that aren't our children, at least that I know of, and that really are young musicians that deserve a lot of attention, including Anushka Shankar, who is Ravi Shankar's daughter, Kali Rodriguez Pena, Jesus Ricardo Andus, Bam Bam Rodriguez. We're really Ernesto Vega. We even have a wonderful percussionist named Master Chris Guida, who is our Dominican Guida specialist and tambor. And the music is really a celebration, and this is an important distinction. It's a musical celebration of the concept of family, not necessarily bloodlines.
No, not at all, but relationships.
That's
like
right.
The relationship between your father and Beba Valdez, going all the way back to the Tropicana Hotel.
Isn't that amazing?
Your father
yeah.
Directing the orchestra, Bebo, the pianist in the orchestra.
Yeah, no. There's the legacy, the shared worlds that we inhabit, and in a much larger sense, the shared worlds that we inhabit globally.
Yeah.
That the music, for instance, of Anushka Shankar, Ravi Shankar's daughter, should touch our lives in such a profound way. We are a global family. Those people who love community and pueblo are people of all ilk. And we really, really, really wanted to get that message across. It's about love.
You wrote a piece called Three Revolutions. The title may not imply what you intended for it to do. Right?
Originally, there was a feeling of Cuban revolution, American revolution, and the revolution to come, the one that really matters, where people lay down nationalism and race and take up the global cause of recognizing that every human being is valuable and that we're responsible for one. Now, that's the third revolution that we're looking for. But in a way, it's mirrored in this relationship of Bebo and Chico, Chucho and Arturo, and this third generation group of young people that are performing on this record. Each generation is a revolution. And instead of playing and replicating and using it as an excuse to get nostalgic, we really do stand where we stand historically and move the art forward. And I think that that's revolutionary.
And the glue is something you gotta hear from Familia. This is Three Revolutions, Arturo O'Farrell. This new record that you just heard, it comes out the 15th from the folks at Motema. Chance Takers, those folks over there.
Yeah.
John and a bunch, they got it going on. And Familia, tribute to Bebo, Chico, Arturo O'Farrell, Chucho Valdez, and a host of other people, bloodlines and non-bloodlines.
Yeah,
but
that's correct.
Dedicated to pushing the music forward just a little bit. The push is that now when you develop something for a dance company, do you develop or design with that push in mind to challenge a dance company that you're writing for?
It depends. It depends. I always feel like collaboration is the most important element of what I do. And sometimes I have to lay aside my relentless pursuit of progress and progression to meet someone else's needs. But I still, like my father and like Bebo, I try to inject as much of inventiveness and creativity as I can. You have to be sensitive to the needs of your collaborators, your audience, and the people who love you. It's like, you know, it's a little bit like taking them on a journey. You can take somebody on a journey a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
You bring them forward one step, and when they trust you, when they bring that part of themselves to you, then you move a little farther forward. And I think that's the model for all the projects that I'm involved in right now. Some of the music, by the way, that we're going to be doing with Ron Brown and Evidence will be performing at Birdland the 14th through the 17th with a band that I call Arturo Farrell and Resistance. But that's exactly an example of what I'm talking about. It's not horrifically inaccessible music, but it is challenging, and it's lovely, and it's beautiful. Strange Instrumentation, we'll be playing some of that stuff, and all the projects that I do. The return of the big band to Birdland on Sunday the 10th after a month hiatus is going to feature some of our new music and some really lovely arrangements of things that we've been doing for years. All of it to move us all forward and to hopefully capitalize on the idea that jazz is, we're just discovering it, man.
Yeah.
We're just scratching the surface. I'm starting a new master's program. I've created a master's program at Brooklyn College. It's a master's in global contemporary and experimental jazz studies. And we honor the roots of our jazz forefathers, but we also want to explore how Art Ensemble of Chicago did their thing, how Muhai Richard Abrams thinks. Where do we go? Where is jazz going? What are we doing? Always firmly rooted in the past, but looking to the day when jazz is really, really going to begin to take on that third revolution, the one where everyone is brought into it equally.
See, now, Turo Farrell makes me, I'm going to have to go to convention this Sunday. Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. What's the problem? Well, I just chatted with Arturo Farrell, and I figured out real quick, I'm not doing enough.
Oh, yes, you are.
That's the
problem. No, sir,
I am doing enough here.
You have been one of my heroes for a long time, man.
Thank you for
pushing me to move my art forward.
Good stuff here, and we got one more thing we're going to do live with the Octet. I hope you'll stick around this morning from WBGO. What a thrill it is to have Arturo Farrell with us this morning.